إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 8th session, reading from Ashru Qawaid fi Tazkiyat al-Nafs, 10 Principles Concerning Purification of the Soul, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, inshallah, we will be looking at the 7th principle of the 10 principles that the Shaykh has listed. But before we look at this particular principle, we want to go back a little bit and review some of the points that we covered in the previous session. So in question and study guide number 7, the first question briefly outlined the first 5 qawaid related to purification of the soul. The first 5 qawaid. Abdul Haq.
First one is at-tawheed, the aslu ma aslu bihi al-nufus. The tawheed is the foundation through which the souls are purified.
Tawheed is the foundation through which souls are purified. Tawheed. Naam. Number 2. Mustafa.
Dua is a key to purification of the soul.
Ad-dua, miftah. Zakat al-nufus, al-du'a, is the key, very, very, very important. Number three, Umar.
The Qur'an is one of the means of purifying the soul.
Okay, one of the means, yani the manba', ma'inu tazkiyah. And the Qur'an, the noble Qur'an, is the source, the spring from which one purification may be taken. Number 4, Al-Qaeda, Al-Rabia, who's that? Musa, naam.
Ittikhadu al-Uswa wal-Qudwa.
Al-Uswa wal-Qudwa, bi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, meaning?
Taking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an example, role model.
Taking the Prophet ﷺ as the example, the role model that we should follow. And number 5, Al-Qa'ida Al-Khamisa. Al-Qa'ida Al-Khamisa. Somebody else who didn't answer. Naam, Muhammad.
Removing bad traits.
Al-Takhliya.
And
adorning yourself with the good traits. تحلية يعني التزكية تخلية وتحلية يعني purification. It is necessary that there be تخلية and تحلية. First, removing the evil traits and characteristics, يعني distancing oneself from evil deeds, and then adorning oneself with the good qualities and characteristics. These are the first 5 principles that we took. And the second question is the principle that we had from last week, mentioned the Al-Qa'ida al-Sadisa, the 6th principle related to purification of soul. The principle that we took last week. Naam. Anybody who didn't answer yet? Okay, we'll come back to those who answered. Omar had his hand up first.
وتوقعه في
الرذيلة. Okay, somebody tell us, what does this mean? يعني إغلاق المنافذ.
نعم محمد. Closing off the paths, the roads, the openings, closing the openings that take a person out of the process of purification. Naam. And also closing the openings that, يعني تبعده عن الفضيلة. Distance him from virtuous deeds and characteristics. وتوقعه في الرذيلة. Cause him to fall into the vile, lowly, despicable characteristics and behavior. Now, closing the doorways. This means that this is a conscious effort that a person has to make to close the doors. Because the doors of the maharam of Allah, they're open. Yani abwab mufattaha. There's nothing stopping you from going except a curtain. And it's easy for one to lift the curtain. And if you enter, if you open, you will definitely enter. And if you enter, you will earn the displeasure of Allah. Question number 3. Discuss the mathal, yani the example, the parable from the sunnah, which clarifies the danger of entering doors which cause a person to lose his deen. What is this mathal? Naam.
Not the exact wording,
in general. على جنبتيها على جنبتيها الصراط سوران
وفيهما أبواب مفتحة وعلى فوق الصراط
على فيها أبواب مفتحة وعلى الأبواب anybody will help على الأبواب سطور مرخاة نعم وعلى باب الصراط داعم السرات جميعا
ولا
تتعرجوا
ولا تعرجوا
yeah تعرجوا also it came three different wordings in the different narrations نعم وداعين يدعو من فوق السرات
من فوق السرات من أراد
إذا فإذا أراد يفتح شيئا
إذا أراد يفتح شيئا من تلك الأبواب قال يا ويحك لا تفتح فإنك تفتح تلجه
نعم جزاك الله خير. This is the method that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave that Allah, yani, that the Prophet mentions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah made a parable of Sirat al-Mustaqima, a straight path. This straight path represents Islam, as opposed to the other paths, yani the other adyan, the other religions. وَعَلَى جَنْبَتَيَ السِّرَاتِ سُورَانِ And on the two sides of this path, there are two walls. On both sides of the path, there are two walls. فِيهِمَا أَبْوَابٌ مُفَتَّحَةٌ And those walls have doors. The walls prevent people from getting off the road, from leaving Islam. These walls, but the walls have doors which are open, and there's only curtains hanging down in front of those doors. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, at the head, at the doorway to the Sirat, there's a caller saying, O people, enter all together, everyone enter into this path, and don't go, yani, deviate. Don't deviate from the straight path, going to this way or to that way, right and left. Don't go this way or that way. And this, yani da'in, that's at the doorway of the path, yani also has a meaning. And then he said, there's also another caller above the path. If anyone wants to open one of those doors, then he will say, woe to you. Do not open it, because if you open it, you will enter it. Now, this is the parable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for us of Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this he explained, yani, as in question number 4, what is meant in this hadith by the straight path? What are the two walls? What are the open doors and the two callers? First, the straight path, ya Shu'aib, naam. Is deen al-Islam, as opposed to the other deens, which are crooked paths, other paths, naam. And the, what? The walls. The walls on both sides of the path. Mustafa?
The boundaries.
are the boundaries, the Naam. Hudud Allah. The hudud, the boundaries that Allah has set to keep you on the path. If you don't stay within those boundaries, you go off the path and you will destroy yourself. And after this, he said that these walls have open doors with curtains hanging out around them. The Prophet ﷺ said that these open doors represent maharam Allah, yani the things that Allah has prohibited. These are doorways to what Allah has prohibited. And that's why the caller is saying, don't open it. Yani the first caller I mentioned, yani is the Book of Allah, yani containing all instructions, guidelines, commands and prohibitions that will make the person stay upon the straight path. And the second caller, the Prophet ﷺ said, who didn't answer yet? Who didn't give us an answer yet? Share with us something, somebody else. Nah? Waleed, you didn't answer yet, right? Fadl, fadl.
The mantra of the heart, so within the nafs, when somebody wants to do something and that it's evil and the nafs know it causes him to stop.
Naam.
That's a salvation.
Yani the caller that's above the road is yani a caller that's in the heart of every Muslim. As he said, that when a person wants to do something, it calls you back. It reminds you, it warns you. It admonishes you. Naam. The caller that Allah placed in the heart of every Muslim. And that caller, yani, is, some of the scholars said, it represents al-basair, yani the insight that Allah gave to the believer. That it represents al-ulum, the knowledge, yani of Islam, the sciences of Islam. Yani, it represents various things that help. Yani the hujj, yani that Allah gave the proofs and evidences to make a person know what Allah has commanded and what Allah has prohibited, what is permissible and what is not permissible. And the person who has those hujj, has this knowledge, has this basira, insight, then this will call them, yani, back if they try to go astray, and it will keep them, yani, restrained and in check and save them from going off the path into, yani, the ways of the other ways, the ways of destruction. على قلب كل مسلم. That's how the Prophet ﷺ said it. This hadith is reported by Ahmad and Bayhaqi and Hakim and others. And Hakim said that it is Sahih ala sharti Muslim. Question number 5. What are the two main categories of maharam, of al-maharam, the prohibited matters mentioned by Hafiz Ibn Rajab rahimahullah when he was discussing this matter of the people who go astray from the straight path? And they open the doors of that which Allah has prohibited, yani behind the curtains of the open doorways going right or left. He mentioned that there are two types of maharam, two categories of maharam. He said that they are?
Ash-shubuhat.
Wa-shahawat. Yani, either he said, even if it is from the shubuhat or the shahawat, whichever of the prohibited things. Yani these doorways, these are the general categories of prohibited things, that they are either from that which a person falls into due to their desires, the desire to enjoy something that Allah has prohibited, or due to the shubahat, their doubts, yani their confusion, because they don't have proper knowledge. So they enter into something due to the doubtful matters that cause confusion in their mind, and they didn't clearly know what's right and what's wrong. So these are two main causes that cause people to fall into that which Allah has prohibited, either shahwat or shubuhat. Question number 6. Memorize the ayat, 24th surah, 30th ayat was mentioned. One of the main doorways, openings that lead to prohibited matters and destruction. Yani the ayat, 24th surah, 30th ayat. Nobody in the back? Right back there? Shuaib. Khabirun. Yasna'un wa sa'ad. Yasna'un. Now, yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordering the Prophet to say to the believers, قُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, yani to lower their gaze and to guard their private parts. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. What does it mean, أَزْكَى? Yani the best means of tazkiyah, purification. This would be the best for the purification of them. أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ, and then Allah ended by saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ. Allah is well aware, all-knowing of what they are doing. To remind us that, yani, these are the things that we should avoid, and this is why we should avoid it, and also know that if you don't avoid it, Allah is well aware. of all that is being done. And this ayah contains some wonderful points. From amongst them is the saying of Abu Hayyan al-Andalusi, rahimahullah, concerning the above ayah 24:30. Who knows what was the statement of Abu Hayyan al-Andalusi? Naam, ya Musa.
الفرج
لأن النظر بارد الزنا وراء
بريد الزنا بريد نعم
بريد الزنا ورائد الفجور والبلوى فيه أشد وأكثر.
Abu Hayyan was a great scholar of tafsir. Especially his tafsir is considered to be a marji'a, a main source to go back to in reference to qira'at, the readings, the ways of reading the Qur'an, and as well in reference to i'rab of the Qur'an and linguistic matters, al-lugha. And this very important point that he brought here, كُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّونَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُونَ فُرُوجَهُمْ. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave precedence to the mention of lowering the gaze over guarding the private parts. And he mentioned lowering the gaze before he mentioned the private parts. And this is because what? Because the looking, naam.
Looking is the gateway to the point of
view. It's a gateway, barid, the messenger that opens the way for zina, and it is also the ra'id.
The scout.
The one who goes out ahead to check the way. For all types of lewdness and filth and indecency. The nadhr is the barid, and the nadhr, naam, is the ra'id.
The organs, as in when we mentioned it last week, the eyes and the tongue.
Naam.
So, with the eyes, this is part of
it. These organs are organs that are gateways, the main gateways that lead to entering into the haram. Naam. He said, and the balwa fihi, fin nadhr. The balwa, the ibtila, the trials and tribulations that are caused by looking, are أشر وأكثر أشد وأكثر more severe and more than the trials and tribulations caused by illegal sexual relations. Looking. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave precedence to the looking, lowering the gaze, even before he mentioned guarding the private parts. Anyway, this is a point that the Imam Abu Hayyan makes, that, rahimahullah, is a very important point to consider. Question number 8, discuss two benefits mentioned by Imam As-Sa'di. Two benefits mentioned by Imam As-Sa'di, rahimahullah, for those who abandon the prohibitions of Allah. Any two benefits that they will get from this? As-Sa'di, now.
تطهر من خبث الذي يتدنس به أحد الفوائش.
First one. And the second one?
The second one is زكت أعماله بسبب ترك
المحرم
التي تطمع إليه النفس وتدعو إليه.
Now, the first benefit Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di mentions is that the people, the first benefit of avoiding the haram is that a person will be, purified from the filth and the corruption that the people of fawahisha, the people who engage in lewdness and illegal, sexual relations and filthy things, there's a filth that they will be polluted and corrupted with. The person who avoids these things, they will be saved from this. They will be purified from it. That's the first thing. And the second thing, zakat amaluhum, their deeds will be purified and increased. Their deeds will be increased. Zakat amaluhum will be increased. Due to bisababi tark al-muharram. Because directly connected to them abandoning the forbidden things. By them abandoning forbidding things, they themselves will be purified and their deeds will be increased. Their good deeds will be increased. And these are two tremendous benefits that the Shaykh mentions there. And then after that, Shaykh As-Sa'di, he mentions at the end of that statement, he said, وَمَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ عَوَّذَهُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. Whoever gives up something for the sake of Allah, then Allah will عَوَّذَهُ, will replace it, will substitute يعني, for that thing that he gave up for the sake of Allah, يعني, something haram that he gave up for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it with that which is better for him. And Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz mentioned that this hadith is weak. It has some weakness, but we mentioned another narration that is authentic, that has the same meaning. Question number 9. Memorize the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu concerning leaving alone that which does not concern you. The hadith of Abu Hurairah concerning leaving alone that which does not concern you. Naam.
إِنَّكَ لَن تَضَعُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا بَدَّلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْهُ.
Now, this is the narration that we mentioned that's not in the book, that actually has the same meaning of what is mentioned in the book, and that is that indeed you will never leave anything for the sake of Allah except that Allah will بَدَّلَهُ, يعني will replace it, يعني with that which will be better than it for you. It will be better for you than that thing. Naam. Actually, the question number 9 that I was referring to is what the Shaykh mentioned after that. But in any case, alhamdulillah, that hadith is important to memorize because that's an authentic hadith. And the one that's mentioned in the book is, and he has some weakness to it. Naam. What about the hadith of Abu Hurairah concerning the goodness of a person's Islam? Naam. The Shaykh didn't mention it, and he didn't quote it as though it's a hadith, but we know it is a hadith, authentic hadith of Abu Hurairah, that from the goodness of a person's Islam is their leaving off that which does not concern them. The Shaykh mentioned that in reference to what he mentioned before this. What he mentioned before this from Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'adi, that the person who, due to their leaving the haram, then they will get these two benefits of purification of their self and increase in their good deeds. So he mentioned in reference to that, that from the goodness of a person's Islam is that they leave that which does not concern them. And he mentioned, here, in reference to a number of things, he mentioned, that which does not concern them, min fudul al-kalam wa nadhar wa ghayri dhalika, the unnecessary, excessive speech and looking, and as well as other things, like listening to that which does not concern you, and so on. This is a very important hadith. From the indications that a person's Islam is good, is that they leave off that which does not concern them. In question number 10, discuss Al-Alama Ibn Qayyim Rahimahullah statement concerning excessive speech and looking. Excessive speech and looking at that which is prohibited, that which does not concern you. Al-Alama Ibn Qayyim Rahimahullah. Fadl. Abdul Haq.
إنما تولدها من فضول الكلام والنظر وهما أوسع من مداخل الشيطان
أوسع مداخل الشيطان فإن جارحتهما
لا يلمعان ولا
يسمعان. نعم. This is a tremendous statement from Ibn Qayyim, and we're going to stop here with this particular question. And he said, closing this particular subject about leaving off that which does not concern you and looking, excessive looking and talking and things like this, he said that most sins, the cause of them is excessive, unnecessary speech and looking. These are from amongst the things, and they are not the only ones. Excessive speech, talking too much. And I say that because some people don't talk much. And some people talk when it's necessary. And some of us, we talk a lot. We don't have anybody in mind, but I'm just saying that it's not good that we talk a lot. Excessive speech is from those things, from the most, the main things that cause a person to fall into sin. We need to think about that. How much we are talking and how much we are looking. He said, أكثر المعاصي, most sins are caused by excessive, unnecessary speech and looking. And these two things, looking and speaking too much of it, is أوسع مداخل الشيطان, the widest entries for shaitan that he can get to you to cause harm to you. For indeed, these two, فَإِنَّ جَارِحَتَيْهِمَا, Yani it means these two organs, the two organs of speech and looking, yani the tongue and the eyes, that these two organs, they are never tired or bored. Yani if we read it, the way the Shaykh wrote in the book, يَمَلَّانِ. But in the, when I went back to Ibn Qayyim's book, it's written, it's printed there, يَمْلَآنِ. And perhaps both of these came, yani because the books used to be written by hand, so it could be يَمَلَّانِ or يَمْلَآنِ. But it's more likely that it's يَمْلَآنِ, and that's because of what he said after that, that the Shaykh didn't quote. But if you look at what he said after that, it's more clear that it's يَمْلَآنِ, that these two organs are never full. They are never satisfied, nor do they become bored or tired from talking and looking. He said, Ibn Qayyim says, after he mentions this quote from the book, he says, بِخِلَافِ شَهْوَةُ الْبَطَنِ, as opposed to the desires of the stomach. فَإِنَّهُ إِذَا امْتَلَأَ لَمْ يَبْقَى فِيهِ إِرَادَةٌ لِلْتَعَامِ. Yani the eyes and the tongue never become full, satisfied, nor do they become bored or tired from looking and talking, as opposed to the desire that's related to the stomach. For if the stomach becomes full, you won't have any desire to eat any more food. But the eyes never become full, and they never become tired of looking at that which they're not supposed to be looking at, and the tongue never gets tired of talking about that which it doesn't have any business talking about. Wallahu musta'an. Okay, tonight, inshallah, yani we went a little bit over time with these questions. Wallahu musta'an. But tonight, we came to Al-Qaeda, Al-Sabi'ah, the seventh principle. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to be reading from, in the English book, from page 30 to 33, and in the Arabic text, from page 29 to 31. In Arabic, we're going to start on page 29, in English, on page 30. The topic, yani Al-Qaeda, Al-Sabi'ah, is تذكر الموت ولقاء الله عز وجل. What a tremendous topic. Yani after the principles that we mentioned, the Shaykh came to تذكر الموت. Yani يرحمك الله. Remembrance of death. ولقاء الله. And the remembrance of the meeting with Allah عز وجل. Yani يوم القيامة. And he begins with the ayat, and then he mentions a hadith, and after that he mentions several ayats and some other points. But the first ayat that he begins with, it's probably the most important ayat. That's why he began with it. He began with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Hashr, 59th Surah, 18th ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرَ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. This particular ayah, because of its importance, I just want to read a couple of comments from the tafsir, Tafsir al-Karim al-Rahman, the tafsir of Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi. Because the Shaykh mentioned this ayah, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَالْتَنْظُرَ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. Yani, oh, you believe, observe taqwa of Allah, and let every nafs, every soul, look to what it has sent ahead for tomorrow. He mentioned it for this part of the ayat. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. And let, this is a command, لام الأمر. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ. Yani, let every soul must look to what it has sent ahead. مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. What it has sent ahead for tomorrow. This is why he mentioned it. But the Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'adi, when he gives the tafsir of this ayah, he mentions four principles besides the one principle the Shaykh is alluding to here. The principle he's alluding to here is the principle of al-muhasaba. Very important principle in Islam, al-muhasaba. Yani, taking account of yourself. Let every soul, every person, look to what has sent ahead for tomorrow, for Yawm al-Qiyamah. Taking account of yourself. But before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And this is the allusion to the very important principle of al-Iman. And the Shaykh mentions briefly about this. And then he said, اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And this is the very important principle of taqwa Allah. And the Shaykh also speaks about this. And after he mentions taking account of yourself, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Indeed, Allah is aware, well aware, fully aware of what you are doing. And this is also a concept, a very important concept in Islam, and that is al-muraqabah. Al-muraqabah. So we have iman, we have taqwa, we have al-muhasabah, taking account of yourself, and we have al-muraqabah, that is being aware, conscious that Allah is watching over you. Al-muraqabah. This is a very important principle in Islam. Yani, whoever doesn't have this principle of muraqabah, then for sure they will be lost. They will not make it. It's impossible. Except that a person is aware that Allah is watching, that Allah knows, that Allah sees, that Allah hears. He even knows, yani, what we're thinking in our heart. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he says in the tafsir of this ayat, one ayat, four principles, يَأْمُرْ تَعَالَى إِبَادُهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Yani Allah is commanding His worshippers, the believers, commanding them, بِمَا يُوجِبُهُ الْإِيمَانِ وَيَقْتَدِيهِ. He is commanding the believers with that which is necessitated, made obligatory by one's iman. And that which iman necessitates, yani, what it requires of a person. What it yaqtadihi. Yani yujibuhu wa yaqtadihi. Yani he's commanding the believers with that which their iman requires. And when he says, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, if you have iman, then this requires of you certain things. From amongst those things, he says, min luzum taqwahu. Sirran wa alaniyatan fi jami'il ahwal. From amongst those things that iman necessitates is that you hold fast to, stick to the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala secretly and openly. Fi jami'il ahwal, every ahwal, in every situation or circumstance. And that you look at and consider what Allah has commanded you with from His commands and His legislations and His hudud, the limits that He has set. That you consider, you think about these things. Yani taqwa requires that we think about the things that Allah has commanded us with. And the things that Allah has legislated, the laws that He has made, and the hudud, the boundaries that He has set. And then He comes to the point that is, yani, intended by the Shaykh mentioned in this ayat, in this particular topic. Yani, وَيَنْظُرُوا مَا لَهُمْ وَمَا عَلَيْهِمْ. And that a person must look at what will be for them in their behalf and what will be against them, yani due to their behavior. What they have achieved, look and consider what they have achieved, the deeds which will benefit them and those which will harm them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. That a person, look at this, consider, think about it. Yani what is it of the deeds that you have done that will benefit you and which of them will harm you on Yawm al-Qiyamah? What is it, yani, that you have done? Yani what have you achieved? What will be for you? Before you, what will be for you and what will be against you. And then the Shaykh, he says, فَإِنَّهُمْ إِذَا جَعَلُوا الْآخِرَ نَصْبَ عَيْنَيْهِمْ وَقِبْلَةِ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَاحْتَمُوا بِالْمَقَامِ بِهَا اجْتَهَدُوا فِي كَثْرَةُ الْعَمَالِ الْمُوسِلَ إِلَيْهَا. Yani, because if they make the Akhirah, yani if the believer thinks about these things, what they are sending ahead for themselves, if they make this an important matter and they think about the Akhirah and they make this to be the thing that's in the forefront, in front of their eyes all the time, that it is the Qibla of their hearts, meaning that their heart is always facing this affair, the affair of the hereafter, and they give care to this particular affair, then they will strive and struggle to do a lot of good deeds, the deeds that will cause them to reach a good end in the Akhirah. And then the Shaykh Ani mentions that the final point here, وَإِذَا عَلِمُوا أَيْضًا, and this is the end of the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, وَإِذَا عَلِمُوا أَيْضًا أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. If they know that Allah is aware of what they're doing, that none of their deeds are hidden from Him, and none of their deeds will be lost, yani from being taken to account. If they know this, this will make it necessary, obligatory for them to, yani, awjaba lahum al-jad wal-ijtihad, that they strive and struggle and work hard to prepare themselves for that day in which the account will be taken. After this, the Shaykh closes by saying that this noble ayat, yani, this is the point, yarhamukallah, that the Shaykh mentioned before, and the Shaykh and Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he closes with this point, that this ayat, this noble ayat, is an asl, a foundation concerning muhasabat al-abd nafsahu, yani the person, the human being, the slave, the servant, the worship of Allah, taking account of themselves. This ayat is a asl, a foundation for this particular point of al-muhasaba, and that it is incumbent upon every person to look and to consider and to look over their nafs. So if they saw that they have slipped, then they should try to catch up. Yani, by abstaining, falling back from that which they have fallen into, and making sincere tawbah, and leaving that thing, leaving, turning away from the causes that lead one to that thing. Stopping doing what they are doing, making sincere tawbah, and then distancing themselves from those things that cause them to fall into that. If you see yourself have fallen into something, when you examine your situation and you realize you have slipped, then you must, yani, fix it by getting out of that situation, making tawbah, and then avoiding the things that cause you to fall into it. And if he sees himself muqassiran, that he has fallen short in something, meaning he has fallen into a prohibited matter, but here he has fallen short in fulfilling the obligatory duties. Yani, if he sees that he has fallen into the haram, or that he has failed to fulfill some obligatory duties, yani, any of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he must exert an effort and seek help from his Rabb in order to perfect and to complete and to, yani, do that deed well. And if you see that you have fallen short in something, and finally the Shaykh says, and then he should compare the favors of Allah upon him and the ihsan of Allah to him. He must compare this to his shortcoming and falling short in reference to the rights of Allah. For indeed, this comparison, when you look at all that Allah has given to you and done for you, and how you have fallen short in the duties that are obligatory, yani, upon you for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will necessitate that a person have al-haya, without any doubt. The person will have shyness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the ayah that the Shaykh begins with. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. O you who believe, people of iman, observe taqwa of Allah. Iman requires that you do that. Yani, that you abstain from what Allah has prohibited, and that you fulfill the duties that He has commanded you with. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. And let every person look at what he has sent ahead. مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ, يعني لِيَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And observe taqwa of Allah. Indeed, Allah is well aware of all that you do. يعني this ayah and this matter here reminds me of another ayah in the Quran, Surah An-Naba, 78th Surah, 39 and 40. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. يعني مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ, for tomorrow. What do we mean by tomorrow? Allah said in another place, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ, yani the day of truth. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. So whoever wills, then let him take a way, find a way to get near to his Rabb. إِنَّا أَنْذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا. Indeed, we have warned you of a near punishment. Yani it's near primarily because it is a fact that it will occur. There's no doubt about it. And Allah refers to it as being near. إِنَّا أَنْذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا. And then here in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. Yani the day in which a person will look to what his hands have sent before him, and a disbeliever will say, woe to me, I wish that I were turab. Why turab? When he sees the animals that after qisas is taken from what one did to another, Allah will turn them into dust and they will not have any accounting. The kafir will say, I wish that I was like those animals. No accounting. But there will be accounting. Naam. But think of that day, يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. The day when a person will be looking to what he has sent ahead. Rather, we should look today what we are sending ahead. Not waiting to that day when there won't be a chance to correct it. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also in Surah Al-Fajr, 89th Surah, 21 through 24, the saying of Allah, كَلَّا إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكًّا دَكًّا وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ. Yani, indeed, when the earth is crushed like powder, crumbled completely, and your Rabb comes and the angels are in rows behind him. And on that day, the hell fire, the hell will be brought forth. يَوْمَ إِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّ لَهُ ذِكْرًا. On that day, a person will remember, but of what benefit will it be to remember on that day? يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي. On that day, a person will say, oh, woe to me, I wish that I had sent something ahead for this life of mine. I wish. But it's too late then. Now is the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us, let every one of us now in this world look at what we are sending ahead for ourselves before it's too late. The Shaykh after this mentions the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. That hadith is reported by Ibn Majah in this wording, but it's also reported by At-Tirmidhi and Nasa'i and others with slightly different wording but exact same meaning. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ حَادِمْ أَلَّذَّاتِ يَعْنِي الْمَوْتِ أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ حَادِمْ أَلَّذَّاتِ يعني remember often or frequently remember. Increase your remembrance of حَادِمْ أَلَّذَّاتِ يعني الْمَوْتِ meaning death. يعني the one, the thing that destroys أَلَّذَّاتِ the pleasures that people enjoy in this world. That cuts them off. Yani in some of the narrations of this hadith, it came instead of hadim, came hadhim. Hadhim. In a Tirmidhi and Nasa'i. Hadhim yani means to cut it off, and hadim means to remove it completely. Increase yourself in the remembrance of that which destroys pleasures, that is, al maut. In another narration of this hadith, that's reported from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, increase your remembrance of that which destroys the pleasures. فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَذْكُرْهُ أَحَدٌ فِي دِيقٍ مِنَ الْعَيْشِ إِلَّا وَسَّعُهُ عَلَيْهِ. For no one of you, remember death, for there is no one of you who remembers death in a time when they have having difficulties in life. يعني ديق العيش. يعني they don't have much, they have little. If they remember death, there's no one that remembers death in that condition except وَسَّعَهُ عَلَيْهِ, except that his يعني provisions will be expanded for him. Meaning he won't feel the tightness anymore. Because when he remembers death, he won't be worrying about what he has in this world. He will be concerned about the death that is coming. وَلَا ذَكَرَهُ فِي سَعَةٍ إِلَّا ضَيَّقَهَا عَلَيْهِ. And no one remembers death when they have plenty, except that the affair became tight upon them. Because they have plenty and they know death is coming to cut it all off. So whatever condition you're in, remember death. Whatever condition you're in, whether you have plenty or you have little. After this, the Shaykh, he talks about death and he mentions several things. Yani, that from the characteristics of al-maut, he said, al-mautu huwa al-faisalu bayna هذه الدار ودار القرار. That death is the faisalun, yani the thing that separates conclusively, decisively, between هذه الدار, the life in this world, ودار القرار, and the permanent place, the place of permanence. Yani here he's saying that death is separating between the place that you're in now in this world and the place that we are going to in the next life. وَالْفَاصِلُ بَيْنَ وَقْتِ الْعَمَلِ وَالْجَزَاءَ عَلَيْهِ. And it is also the fasil, يعني it's not completely separating them, but it is a pause between the time of deeds, of doing deeds, and the time of the reward for them, الْجَزَاءَ عَلَيْهِ. يعني death separates or is a pause between the time in which a person is able to do deeds and the time, and you won't be able to do any more deeds. Now it's just the recompense. Yani good for good and evil for evil. وَهُوَ الْحَدُّ الْفَارِقُ بَيْنَ تَقْدِيمِ الزَّادِ وَمُلَاقَاتِ جَزَائِهِ. And it is also الْحَدُّ الْفَارِقُ, yani the boundary line that separates between تَقْدِيمِ الزَّادِ, yani the sending forth of the provisions for the next life, and the receiving of those provisions. The action of sending forth whatever you're sending ahead for yourselves and meeting, and the meeting with whatever is coming to you in compensation for that. So there's no room, فَلَا مَجَالْ بَعْدَهُ لِلْتَوْبَ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ مِنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. There's no room, there's no way after death for a person to repent or to seek forgiveness from their sins. Yani whoever doesn't repent now, whoever doesn't seek forgiveness now, after death, khalas, it's finished. وَلَا مَجَالْ بَعْدَهُ لِلْإِسْتِكْثَارِ مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ. Nor is there any way, any room, any field after death for increasing in hasanat. Yani after death, there's no opportunity for seeking forgiveness for the sayyat, nor is there any opportunity for increasing in hasanat. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 18th Ayat. وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ. Yani that there is no benefit for the tawbah of those who continue doing evil deeds until death comes to one of them. When death is in front of him, now he says, إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ. Now I repent. Now I repent. Shaykh As-Sa'di, rahimahullah, says, the reason for this, the reason why there's no benefit from the tawbah at that point, is because a tawbah fi hadhi al-hal, tawbah to ittirar, ittirarin. Because this tawbah is the tawbah of ittirar. A person is compelled to repent now, because they see death in front of them. La tanfa'a sahibahu. So it doesn't benefit the one who repents at that point. إِنَّمَا تَنْفَعُ تَوْبَةُ الْإِخْتِيَارِ تَوْبَةُ إِخْتِيَارٍ. But rather what benefits is the tawbah when a person has a choice. Yani before death comes, and a person has a choice, this tawbah will be of benefit. This will benefit a person if repents at the time. Shaykh also said in this particular ayah, he mentioned a point, and then we'll go on. He said that tawbah, the tawbah of Allah upon His servants is of two types. Yani Allah turning to the slave in repentance, turning to the slave with tawbah, there are two types. The first of them is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawfiq minhu litawbah. Yani that He gives the person the ability to repent. That's from Allah, that He gave you the ability to repent. And the second of them is Allah's acceptance of that repentance after the person repents. So the tawbah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His servants is first giving them the ability, the success to repent, and then accepting that repentance from them. And this is indeed a tremendous favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He enables us to repent and then He accepts it from us. After this, the Shaykh, he says, after this, يعني ثم هو مدرك, هو مدرك كل الناس لا محالة. Yani that death will reach every person, no doubt about it. There's no escape from it. وملاقيهم بلا ريب. And it will meet them face to face, no doubt about it. Yani death will reach every person, it will meet every person, there's no escape from it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and He mentioned two ayats here. The first of them is Surah Al-Jumu'ah, 67th Surah, 8th ayat. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Say, indeed, the death which you are fleeing from it, indeed it will meet you face to face. مُلَاقِيكُمْ. It will meet you face to face. It won't be coming behind you trying to catch up with you. It will come before you and meet you face to face. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 78th Ayat, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكْكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَةٍ. يعني عالية البناء. Wherever you are, death will reach you. Even if you are in, يعني structures, buildings, بروج مشيدة, يعني that are raised high, you will not be able to escape from it. And then the Shaykh says, وهو مع ذلك يأتي للأنام فجأة. And not only that, he said, but in addition to that, death will come unexpectedly. Yani, most people don't get the warning that you're going to die today. Usually it came unexpectedly. Some people totally unexpectedly. Some people are sick, but they don't know they're going to die today. Most of the people don't know when it's coming. But had they known in advance, then every person, even a kafir, if they know in advance that it's over, yani, they will try to do something different. But it's too late. The Shaykh says, yani he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 34th Ayat, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. That when their ajal, yani their term, the end of their life that Allah has fixed for them, when it comes, then there is no delaying it, not even 1 hour, no advancing it before its time. And then the Shaykh, he gives some examples here of real life. How many times a human being, فَكَمْ مِنْ إِنسَانٍ خَرَجَ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ يَقُودُ سَيَّارَتَهُ فَرَجَعَ مَحَمُولًا عَلَى الْأَكْفَانِ. How many times did a person go out of his house driving his car or taking a bus or train? فَرَجَعَ, but he returned, yani being carried in a shroud. وَكَمْ مِنْ إِنسَانٍ, yani how many people left their house not knowing that that was their last day and they returned, yani shrouded. كَمْ مِنْ إِنسَانٍ قَالَ لِأَهْلِهِ, how many times did a person say to his family, prepare some food for me, and he died before he had a chance to eat it. وَكَمْ مِنْ إِنسَانٍ لَبِسَ ثَوْبَهُ وَزَرَّ زِرَارَهُ, how many times did a person put on his garment and then button it up, yani button the buttons himself, وَلَمْ يَفُكُّ زِرَارَ ثَوْبِهِ, and then no one loosened those buttons from his garment that he buttoned up, no one loosened them, إِلَّا الْغَاسِلْ, except the one who is going to wash his body. Yani this is something that we should be thinking about. You don't know what Allah has in store any day, whether you're going or coming. The Shaykh, he says, فَفِي ذِكْرِ الْعَبْدِ لِلْمَوْتِ مَنْفَعَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. Yani in the servant of Allah remembering death, there's a great, tremendous benefit. فَذَلِكَ تَنْشِيطُ فَبِذَلِكَ تَسْتَيْقِظُ قُلُوبُ الْغَافِلَةِ. Yani in the remembrance of death, from its benefit, is that the heart that is غافل, yani that is unaware, inattentive, is awakened. وَتَحْيِ قُلُوبُ الْمَيِّتَةِ, and the hearts that are dead may be given life by the remembrance of death and the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَحْسُنُ إِقْبَالُ الْعَبْدِ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, and a person will perfect or do well in their turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani their turning to Allah will be better. Yani their إِقْبَال عَلَى اللَّهِ will be أَحْسَن. Yani it will be better, their turning to Allah. Yani meaning that a person may be doing some of the things that are obligatory, worshipping Allah to some extent, but in remembering death, it will cause you to do better, yani in whatever you are doing. And this is something for us to think about. Yani whoever thinks that they're going to die soon, and everybody should be thinking that, then know that there are two things that you can do from amongst them. One of them is to do what you are doing better, that he's referring to here. Whatever you're already doing, do it a little better. Yani can you perform your prayers a little bit better? Yani can you do the fasting that you do in Ramadan or on Mondays and Thursdays or on the 13th, 14th, 15th or whenever you're fasting? Can you do it a little better? Can you observe that fast better? Your dhikr of Allah after the salat, saying subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Can you do that better? Yani instead of saying subhanallah, 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 and take your time. And it might take you 1 minute to say subhanallah 33 times. And alhamdulillah 33, Allahu Akbar 33 times or 34. It might take 1 or 2 minutes. What if you took 3 or 4 minutes? And do it better. Yani subhanallah, with reflection and contemplation. Can you do it a little better? Who cannot? Do what you're doing a little better. And whatever you're doing, do a little more. Yani is it that we're doing so much good that we can't add anything to it? Yani khalas, I'm doing the max. There's nothing left to do? Who can say that? Do whatever you're doing better. And do a little more of whatever you're doing. And this is one of the ways to guarantee you'll be in a better condition whenever Allah takes our soul. And on the day that we meet with him. The Shaykh, he says, yani in the remembrance of Allah is many great benefits. From amongst them is that the hearts which are unaware and inattentive, yani will be awakened. And the hearts which are dead will be given life, and a person will do better in their turning before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَزُولُ الْغَفْلَةُ وَالْعِرَادُ عَنْ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. And it will also, the remembrance of death and the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also remove a person's heedlessness and their turning away from the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will remove this condition. وَقَالَ سَعِيدِ بْنِ جُبَيْرِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ لَوْ فَارَكَ ذِكْرُ الْمَوْتِ قَلْبِي خَشِيتُ أَنْ يَفْسُدَ عَلَيَّ قَلْبِي. يعني my heart. لَوْ فَارَكَ ذِكْرُ الْمَوْتِ. يعني if the remembrance of death, the remembering of death had separated from my heart, يعني there was no remembrance of death in my heart, I fear that my heart will be corrupted. يَفْسُدَ عَلَيَّ قَلْبِي. My heart will be corrupted. وَلَا يَزَالُ الْعَبْدِ بِخَيْرٍ مَا كَانَ نَاظِرًا لِمَوْقِفِهِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ بَعْدَ مَمَاتِهِ وَمَصِيرِهِ بَعْدَ مَمَاتِهِ. يعني a person will continue to be upon خير, upon good, as long as that person is looking to, thinking about, considering his position, his mawqif, his place of standing in front of Allah عز وجل on يوم القيامة, after his death, his place of standing before Allah on يوم القيامة after his death, وَمَسِيرِهِ بَعْدَ مَمَاتِهِ, and his destination after his death. And as long as a person is thinking about, constantly reflecting upon, what will be my position in standing before Allah on يوم القيامة? What will be my destination after my death? And a person will continue to be upon good as long as this thought, this consideration is constantly in the forefront of their mind. That is on the top of their heart and in the depths of their heart and filling them, yani, in every part of their being. Qala Sufyan ibn Uyayna, yani al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, that one of the great, great scholars of Islam, great scholars of Hadith, rahimahullah, he said, Ibrahim At-Taymi, rahimahullah, said, مَثَّلْتُ نَفْسِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Sheikh ends with this thought. Yani Ibrahim Taymi, rahimahullah, said, مَثَّلْتُ نَفْسِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Yani I made the parable or the example, or I considered, I looked at myself, the possibility of being in Jannah. Yani, what would it be like, me being in Jannah? أَكِلُ ثِمَارَهَا, eating its fruits, and drinking from its rivers, and hugging the virgins in the paradise. I thought about this, I considered how it would be. Yani, ثُمَّ مَثَلْتُ نَفْسِي فِي النَّارِ, and then I considered myself being in the hellfire, eating from its zakum, yani the trees, the horrible trees in the hellfire. وَأَشْرَبُ مِنْ سَدِيدِهَا, and drinking from its pus, yani that the people of the hellfire will be drinking from. وَأُعَالِجُ سَلَالِهَا وَأَغْلَالَهَا, and I was struggling with its chains and its shackles, yani that are holding one in place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that on that day, yani there will be no punishment like Allah's punishment. And there will be no bounding, yani binding, tying down those people who are going to be punished like they will be tied down on that day. He said, I thought about this, فَقُلْتُ لِنَفْسِي, and I said to myself, أي نفسي, يعني يا نفسي, oh my nafs, oh my nafs, which of these things do you want? Yani that picture of being in paradise or being in the hellfire. قَالَتْ, يعني قَالَتْ نَفْسِي, أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُرَدَّ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا فَأَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا. I want to go back to this world, to the world, the life in this world, so that I may do righteous deeds. قُلْتُ فَأَنْتِ فِي الْأُمْنِيَةِ فَأَعْمِلِي. Yani, you are in that which you wish to be in. Yani, you're in the world now. So do righteous deeds. So do righteous deeds. وَقُلْ لَهَا أَيْضًا, and also say to your nafs, ya nafs, O nafs, in ana mittu faman dhal ladhi yusalli anni ba'da al maut wa man sayasumu anni wa man yatubu anni min dhunubi wa tafriti. O my nafs, who is it that will pray on my behalf after my death? Yani if I didn't do this now, these prayers, yani who is going to do some prayers for me and give it to me on my behalf after I am dead? Which it won't be accepted. Yani who is going to do it? Who will fast, do some fasting on my behalf to save me? Who will repent for me on my behalf from my sins and my shortcomings? Of course, no one will. Of course, no one will. I'm going to just mention here one ayah from the Quran, which the Shaykh, when he said, yani, when he mentioned this saying of Ibrahim al-Taymi, he said that his nafs said, I want to go back to the world and do righteous deeds. And this reminds us of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah al-Sajda, 32nd Surah, 11th and 12th ayat. And I believe that these two ayats, amongst many other ayats that we mentioned tonight, that the Shaykh mentioned in this chapter, are from the most important of them, that will make a person yani be better for their self. Yani will do that which will be good for their own self. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ. Yani indeed the angel of death who has been appointed over you, he will take your soul. يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. And then to your Rabb you will be returned. And the angel of death who has been appointed over us, he will take our souls at the appointed time and then we will be turned to our Rabb. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. If you were to see the mujrimun, yani the disobedient, the rebellious, the kuffar, the mushrikun, if you were to see the mujrimun hanging their heads in the presence of their Rabb, saying, رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَارْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. They will be saying on that day, رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا, we have seen, وَسَمِعْنَا, we have now heard, yani the reality of the affair, فَارْجِعْنَا, so return us, نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا, indeed we will do righteous deeds, إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ, now we are certain. Yani the affair became clear now. And these last words on this ayat, the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, in the second of those ayats, the last of them, he said, if you were to see the mujrimun, yani those who were insistent, consistent in committing great sins, mujrimun, for real, naqisu ru'usihim, with their heads hanging in the presence of their Rabb, khashi'ina, khadi'ina, adhillah, humbled, in total submission, مُكِرِّينَ بِجَرَمِهِمْ, confessing to their sins, سَائِلِينَ الرَّجَعَ, asking Allah to let me go back, saying, رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا, indeed we have heard, we have seen and we have heard, يَعْنِي بَانَ لَنَا الْأَمْرَ, the affair became clear now, وَرَأَيْنَاهُ عِيَانًا, and we have seen it with our own eyes, يعني we have seen the hellfire, وَصَارَ عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ, so the affair became the affair of Ayn al-Yaqeen, certainty and sight. فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا, so return us, so that we may do righteous deeds. إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ, indeed we are now certain. Yani the Shaykh said, the affair became now, at that point, yaqeen, certainty about that which we used to deny before in this world. Yani now we have seen an affair that is frightening, a condition that is disturbing. And people who are losers and asking, requesting that which will not be answered, there's no going back. Because the time for respite has already passed us by. May Allah open our hearts. I need to see the importance of this remembrance of death, and remembering the meeting of our Rabb, Yawm Qiyamah, and that may Allah make this remembrance, yani, that which moves our hearts, yani, to do that which we would wish we could do if we could come back, but there's no coming back. Now is the time to do it. May Allah grant us success in doing that which is pleasing to Him and earning His reward, and saving us from the evil of our own selves, and pardon our sins, and keep us firm upon the straight path, as-sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen.